Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test. Yep. Okay. When we come to Acts chapter 3, we find at the very beginning of the chapter, in the first 7 verses, John and Peter head to the temple. And at the gate of the temple there, they find a man that has been lame since his birth. And they heal him. Peter heals him. Peter says, the man's begging alms. He has no way to provide money for himself. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he gives him the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest thing that any could ever be given. And he heals the man. And in verse 8, the man follows Peter and John into the temple. And it said, the passage says he's leaping and praising God. The man has never walked in his life. When he's healed, it says his ankles and his legs, his feet are healed. And so he now has strength to stand. He has strength to walk. He has strength to leap. And he's praising God as they go into the temple. Well, this causes a commotion. People are stirred. What's going on over here? And the text bears out that he grabs John and Peter in verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So there's a stir going on within the temple as this man has been healed and as he's praising the Lord, and they're wondering exactly what is going on. Then beginning with verse 12, Peter begins to address the crowd and to preach to them. And I want us to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. So I'd invite you to stand with me in reverence of God's Word to read the rest of this chapter beginning with verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot what ignorance ye did it. Through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. May the Lord add his blessing to his word as we read and meditate upon it this morning. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, Lord, as we turn to your word, we look with anticipation. We are here, O God, to worship you as you have prescribed by the preaching of the word. Our purpose here today is not for a show, not to see what others may do, but, oh God, to hear what you would say to our hearts. So we ask, oh God, that you might speak to us. We count dear and precious the promise that wherever two or three are gathered, there will you be in the midst. So we know, oh God, that you are here, and we look forward, oh God, to what your Holy Spirit might do in hearts this day. Oh God, that by the preaching of your word, you might encourage the hearts of your children, that we might have our minds, our hearts turned from the things of the world, and to look to you and to meditate upon you and to learn of you, to know you more, and, oh God, by faith to trust you more. And, oh dear Lord, for those gathered in our midst that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, if it may please you, O Father, to grant unto them faith, a new birth, even this hour. You have told us faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, O God, even as we hear your word, even as your word is proclaimed and preached to us, O God, may you bring forth faith. May you move by the power of your Spirit in dead hearts. Regenerate souls. O dear God, bring repentance and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through his name, his blood, and his righteousness that we come, we ask our petitions, and we expect to be heard. Praise you and thank you, O Father. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning is verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I want to look at this verse this morning. I want to look at some of the things that this verse tells us and make sure we know and understand what God is saying here to us. First of all, this is a work of God. It is God's work that he's talking about in this verse. Unto you, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you. We've just gone through Resurrection Sunday last week. We heard the word of God. We looked and meditated upon the word of God at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in light of that, it would be very easy for us to look at this verse and take something for granted in this verse and think that when it says God having raised up his Son Jesus, that he would be talking about the resurrection. But that's not the case. He's not talking here about the resurrection. He's talking about the work of God in exalting Jesus Christ to be the suffering servant, to be the Savior, to be the one to come and to die and to save mankind from sin. He's talking about raising him up into that exalted position. We read in Acts chapter 3, back just a few verses, verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren." God's going to raise him up. God was going to raise up Jesus Christ, incarnated at Bethlehem, taking on flesh and blood, raised up to this position to come and to serve God and to fill this position and to fulfill this prophecy and to be this exalted one, so that he has a name that is above every name, God says. That in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. This exalted position, this honored position, this worthy position that Jesus Christ feels. That's the raising that he's talked about. This is God has raised Jesus Christ to be the Savior, to be the suffering Savior, the suffering servant, the servant who came for a specific purpose. He came to die. He came to die. For without his death, there is no forgiveness. Without his death, there is no gospel. Without his death, there is no salvation. Without his death, there is no reconciliation for mankind. We all go to hell apart from the death of Jesus Christ. This is the position that he's talking about. God having raised up his Son, Jesus. It's God's work. God has done it. God has prescribed it. The writer in, as he records Peter's words here in this chapter, Peter's preaching back, he's preaching to Jews, he's going back and tell them about their history. He talks about the words of Moses, he talks about the promise of Abraham, he talks about all the prophets who have said this from the foundation of the world. He says in verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. They've all foretold of this work of God. This work of God in raising up His Son, Jesus Christ. He raised Him up to crucify Him. He raised Him up to pour out His wrath upon Him. For we cannot endure that wrath. There are those who will spend eternity trying to endure that wrath, and were it not for a resurrection body of the wicked, yeah, they're not raised in their own body. They'll have a special body fit for destruction, fit for the purpose of God to get glory to Himself in the eternal punishment of them. A special body made just to endure the wrath of God. It is God's work. It is God's blessing. It is God's work to raise up His Son and to send Him to bless you, Peter says. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, sent Him to bless you, turning away every one of you from his iniquities. It is God's work. But God's work to whom? Who is this work addressed to? Who is this work of raising Jesus Christ up addressed to? And we see that in the verse. Unto you, he says. Who's he talking to? He's in the temple in Jerusalem. He's talking to Jews. Unto you, he says. He says a little further, send him to bless you. This is God's work. When we look again back at verse 22, as Moses truly said of the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Unto you, Jews, of your own heritage, of your own people. Jesus Christ was not American. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was an Israelite by birth. His lineage is traced in the New Testament for us. This work unto you. He is preaching unto the Jews. Unto you, first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning every one of you away from His iniquities. That's hard for some people to take, some people to understand. If we look at Matthew 10, I'm not going to give you time to turn there. I'm just going to read to you a couple of verses from there. Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, the disciples, to go out and to teach, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, sending forth the 12 to proclaim the gospel, to go out and to heal and to teach the gospel and to take salvation and the news of salvation, to take the gospel, Jesus says, do not take it to the Gentiles. Do not take it into any city of Samaria. Any city where there are Samaritans, don't go in. You only take this to Jews. You only take this to Israelites. Only take this, the verse says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is only given to Israel. When we look at the Scripture, when we look at the Old Testament, something that we often forget is all of the Word of God there was given only to the nation of Israel. The world didn't have it. That's addressed in the New Testament. What advantage had the Jews over everybody else? They had the oracles of God. They had the words. They had the instructions. Some of you teenagers recently got driver's license, and I know somebody else that's not too distant future will be going. Michael, that's you. Talking about you, boy. Can you imagine you go in to take your learner's test? And boy, it's a nervous time, you know. We've all been waiting to drive for years, and when we finally get to that point, and it's time to go take the test, and you go in to take the test, and only one person in there had the book. The rest of you have to take the test without the book. Wait a minute, I don't know this information. I never heard this stuff. What are these questions here? I don't know anything about this. How was I supposed to know? I didn't get the word. I didn't get the book. You see, that's where the rest of the world was. Only Israel had the Word of God. Only Israel had the prophets. Only Israel had the priests. Only those who left their nationality, who left their homes and became what the Old Testament calls proselytes, who left and came and joined themselves to the nation of Israel, had the Word of God. They're the only ones. And here again we see in the New Testament, as Jesus says, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go into those cities of Samaria. Only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only to the Jews. Only the Jews get the Word of God. Listen, and I hope you're familiar with this passage, but just in case you're not, Luke chapter 7. Again, I'm not going to give you time to turn there. I'm just going to read this to you. This woman, listen to what Jesus tells this woman who was not a Jew when she came to Him. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him. She heard of Jesus. And came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought Him that He would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. The children of Israel, the nation, the Jews. Listen to this statement from Jesus. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. It's not right to take the food away from the children and to feed it to the dogs. He's talking there, the children are the Jews. And the dogs, it's this woman. It's you and I. I don't think any of us here are Israelites by birth. I don't think any of us carry the Jewish bloodline. So it's talking about us. Dog, hey you. Some people, for a few years, that was a good term. Buddies used that to one another. But generally, that's a derogatory term. You're a dog. It's not right, Jesus said, to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. He's telling the woman no. You're not a Jew. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the people of Israel. Our text. Unto you first, having raised up His Son, Jesus sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We see that it's God's work. It is God's blessing through Jesus. And it is sent, He says, to the Jews. To these that are gathered in the temple. The Jews, the Israelites. But don't lose heart, dogs. Gentiles is what I meant to say. There's a key word in this verse that gives us hope. It's the word first. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you. What does first almost always mean? There's a second. There's another. Doesn't it? That's why we say first. If there's only one, we say it's the only one. We don't say it was the first. Adam in the garden was the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. When there's a first, there is a second. The passage where God sent His blessing through Jesus first to the Jews. First to the Jews. We saw the text there a minute ago where Jesus said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to any city of Samaria. First to the Jews, but then to the rest of the world. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was first, then through all the rest of the world. The passage where Jesus spoke of us as dogs in Mark 7, I read just a moment ago. Let me finish the passage for you. The certain woman with a daughter who had the unclean spirit heard of Him. She came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought Him that He would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, let the children be filled first. For it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. We pick up in verse 28, and she answered and said unto Him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. So yes, they are the children. We are dogs, but dogs eat of the crumbs under the table. There is something for us. Unto them first, but then secondly, unto the rest of the world. Jesus told his disciples at his ascension, Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To the Jews first, and then to the rest of the world. Then to the rest of the world. So first is a good word for us here, even though we're not first. We are included. There is a work for us. There is a salvation for us. God has sent His Son first for them, but secondly for the rest of all of us. The blessing of God has been promised to us as Gentiles, even from the Old Testament. Isaiah 49:6, And He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. God saying, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Take heart, O Gentile. It's not just a secondary thing. It's not just for dogs eating the crumbs. Jesus Christ is sufficient. God's work is done for all of every nation, every tribe under the earth, but only those who come by faith in repentance before Jesus Christ. Isaiah 52:10, The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The salvation of our God. Jesus Christ, that's what He's talking about. Every tribe, every nation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offered to you today, dog, Gentile. Even though it was sent first of all to the Jews, it is offered to you and I. It is offered to every descendant of Adam, born in sin, sin from Adam, guilty of sin, enemy of God. Salvation is offered through Jesus Christ to every one of us. So the blessing from God is sent through His Son whom He raised up, Jesus Christ, whom God raised for this purpose. God sent Him first of all for the Jews, then for the rest of the world. The question becomes, the question that should be asked and answered, what is the blessing that Jesus brings? Now, we could ask that to a group of any people you find gathered anywhere. What are the blessings that Jesus brings? What does grace mean? What's it all about? The problem is you're going to get a lot of different answers. Reason being, because there's a lot of people that don't know the truth. What did Jesus bring? What was that blessing? The unbelieving Jews thought that Jesus, or the Messiah, we won't say Jesus because they denied Jesus, the unbelieving Jews thought that the Messiah was coming to remove the yoke of Rome from off their necks. That was the blessing they looked for. That was the promised deliverance. That was the king they were looking for. A king to come up and set up the nation of Israel and to throw off Rome and to throw off everybody else that would cause any problems for Israel, and then Israel would be a sovereign nation in this world. And they proved that over and over. Who did they appeal to crucify Jesus? Rome. Why so? Their allegation, they alleged before Pilate, this man Jesus is trying to overthrow you, Pilate. This man Jesus is trying to throw Rome off of Israel. This man Jesus is saying he's king and Rome can't be in charge. You see, that's all they thought. That's all they were looking for. Blessings in this life. Blessings for our nation. We will be a mighty nation. That's what they thought. That's what they wanted. That's the blessing they were looking for. Is that the blessing Jesus brought? Jesus told Pilate, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants rise and fight. But my kingdom's not of this world. One of the thieves on the cross knew that. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Pardon my vernacular, but this ain't it. This ain't it. This is not his kingdom. This is not what he is setting up. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom will reign. It's not of this world. But that's what they thought. They thought that he came just to deliver Israel in this world, to make them free in this world, to make them the best nation in this world. That's not the case. So that's not the blessing that God is talking about. So what is the blessing that Jesus brings? Many people thought, and many still think today, that Jesus came to make their lives better, to heal them and take away their problems. That's the only purpose Jesus came for. The only thing that matters in the New Testament are the miracles. He healed people. He raised people back to life. He fed people. Remember when he fed the 4,000? And the next morning they get up and he's gone? Oh no, where'd he go? And so they run and they catch up to him again because they want to be fed again. They're just looking for the miracle. They're just looking for the feeding of the flesh. The feeding of the flesh. Now, don't think that's really strange or weird or odd, because that's who we are by birth. That's all we're interested in. That's all we're concerned with is the flesh. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and there's nothing spiritual about us by birth. All we care about is here and now. All we care about is this flesh, this body. We don't care about our soul. We don't care about eternity. We don't care about the things of the glory of God. That's the natural man. That's us. Don't think they're odd. That's the way all humans are in sin, before a new birth, before salvation. There are many that still think this today. They think all that salvation is about is blessings in this life. If you have a health problem, if you have a money problem, if you have a family problem, whatever you have, Jesus is there just to fix your problems. He's just a problem solver. That's all he's about. Nothing about a kingdom, nothing about being a king, nothing about being a ruler, nothing about being the creator and God. He just came to feed and fix problems. Let me ask you this question. Did everyone that was healed get saved? I should think about that for just a moment, but I'm only going to give you a moment. We don't have time. Do you think that Jesus healed anyone that he didn't save? I don't know of any scriptures that talk about all who were healed were saved. I don't know that any such verse that says everyone who was healed was saved. But I don't know of anything recorded in scripture of anyone who was healed and later turned to a life of wickedness and sin. But very often, in the words of Jesus, thy faith hath made thee whole. So he's indicating that there is a saving faith. They had faith in him. They believed in him. Just as this woman did that he called a dog. She came, she heard of him. She came because she believed in him. She came and fell at his feet. There's an indication, there's an evidence, a proof of faith right there. There is recorded in Scripture those who met Jesus and walked away without salvation, though, apart from a healing, apart from a miracle. And I think particularly of the rich young ruler. Remember, he came to Jesus and said, what do I do? What do I need to do? And Jesus said, keep the law. And he said, I've done all that since I was a kid. You know, I've kept the law. I'm fine. I'm good. And Jesus says, I'm going to pick up in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read it to you. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Here he is. He's come to Jesus. He said that Jesus is God. He recognizes that. Jesus is a servant come from God. Jesus tells him, sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Verse 22 says, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He met Jesus and he turned and walked away. He wasn't healed, but it's obvious he wasn't saved there either. He turned and walked away. Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, we don't know what happened later with this man, but we see an instance, we see a situation where he came to Jesus Christ. He came face to face with him, and he turned and walked away grieved because he loved his treasures more than he loved Christ. I don't know any record in the Scripture of someone being healed and is showing later signs of being a non-believer. I don't know any of that. But I want to look at it another way. Do you think Jesus would heal, strengthen, build up, and assist people to sin? In law today, we call that an accessory before the fact. Yeah, this guy was on his way to rob the bank, but his car broke down, so I loaned him mine. I assisted him on his way. I was being a good Samaritan. I was being helpful. I loaned him my car. I filled it up with gas. You're an accessory before the fact. You assisted him in doing evil. Do you think God would do that? Do you think Jesus would heal them just so that they could be sinners and to continue on against God, knowing what God says of sin? Turn with me just a moment to 2 John. Hold your place here in Acts. Turn to 2 John, almost all the way to the end of the New Testament, the end of the Bible. 2 John, as you're turning, let me ask you a question. How many of you fertilize weeds? You got a patch in your yard of weeds, and you go out and you fertilize it and take care of it to help it grow? I don't think any of you do. If you do, see me after church. We need to get the guys to come by with those jackets that fold up in the back, and we'll get you some help. You don't feed weeds. You don't want the weeds to grow. That's not something you're trying to accomplish. Then why would God? If you don't do it, why would God? Look at 2 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Look at what God tells believers about their interaction with non-believers. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So when somebody comes, and I've had people ask me before, well, when the Mormons come knocking on your door, when the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door, when these people that are non-believers come knocking on your door, what do? God said, don't let them into your house. And as they're leaving, you don't bid them good day, Godspeed, or have a good day, or hope things go your way, or any such thing. Think of this. What's their purpose? Their purpose is out, as the verse says there in verse 10. If any come to your house and bring not this doctrine. So what did they brought? They brought heresy. They brought a lie. They brought something that calls God a liar and calls Jesus Christ a liar and says there's another way of salvation. And God says if they come to your house bringing this heresy, don't let them in. Do not let them in. Furthermore, as they're going away, don't be kind and considerate to them and say, Godspeed to you now. Y'all have a good day. Hope everything goes well for you. You just bid them God's blessing, God's strength, God's power to help them go work against God. Would you do that? Would you intentionally do that? Hey, yeah, the devil's preaching over here. Let's go over and give them some money and help them out and help them teach their lies. No, you wouldn't do that. And God says if you wish them Godspeed, if you bless them on their way, even just verbally, you have in verse 11, he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You've supported him in this heresy. You've supported him in this ungodly work. Do not do it. Well, if we're not supposed to do it, would God do it? Would God do it? Would God, would Jesus heal these people up to go and sin? We know on several occasions when Jesus healed somebody, he told them, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. His purpose wasn't just to come and heal people and let them go on sinning. But that's what people are looking for today. They're looking for a Jesus that will come into their life, heal their illnesses, take care of their sicknesses and their problems, take care of their money problems, and just leave them alone and let me sin. Let me do whatever I want to do. That's not what Jesus came to do. That's not the blessing that God has sent His Son, raised up His Son, Jesus, to bring a blessing to us. That's not the blessing He's talking about. That's not even godly to think that way. That Jesus would lift people up and strengthen them up so that they could go sin more. Yeah, did you hear about that guy Jesus healed? He couldn't walk, and Jesus healed him, and now he's the fastest runner around, and now the police can't catch him because he's robbing everybody, and he outruns them all. I think everything that Jesus did in the healing was done in a Jesus-type way, and it was perfect. Just like when he turned the water into wine. This is the best wine, the governor of the feast said. I think the people that he healed, and now they can walk, they walk better than everybody else. But he didn't lift them up to go and sin. Go and sin no more. I believe that the work that Jesus did in healing came with and was because of, as he said, their faith in him. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, that faith includes faith in him, which is salvation. It is the work of God. Are you looking for Jesus to bless you? You want him to come and to heal you, help you with the problems, so you can go on sinning against him? How many times have people prayed for something and they got it and they turned it exactly against what God calls us to do? I think of a particular person most of you here will know. They prayed for a job and prayed for a job and prayed for a job, and they got the job, and the job took them away from church and they haven't been here once in 5 years. Quote unquote, because of the job. God gave you the job to take you away from doing what you're supposed to do? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's what God is about. That's not what God is doing. He tells us that we would be partakers of their evil deeds. And God is not a partaker in anyone's evil deeds. I think for people looking for that, they don't understand what is the blessing that the passage talks about. God tells us back in our text, turn back to Acts chapter 3, please, that God raised up and sent Jesus first to the Jews, then to the rest of us to bless. Look at the text. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God tells us right there in the verse what the blessing truly is. It's not just healing. It's not making you wealthy. It's not just taking care of your problems. The true blessing is in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Turning you away from your iniquities. Away from your sin. Turning you away from a life of sin to a life of serving the Lord. Turning away from that life. Turning away from what you were, what we were born into being something different. It's not a new teaching, it's what God has said all along. Most people must have missed it. Isaiah 59:20, listen to this. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Turning from transgression. That's the crux of the whole thing. You think you're okay with God. You think everything's just okay. I'm just living my life. I'm just going along. The problem is your transgression, your sin against God. We look at it like it's a minor thing. Well, it's just a little this. It's a little that. It wasn't all that much. To God, it is sin. It is horrific. Every sin. Jesus said to look upon something else, to lust after. It's sin. You've stolen it. To hate your brother in your heart, you've murdered him. He magnifies it. That's how it is to him. We belittle it. Think back to Satan's words to Eve. You won't really die. God's blowing this all out of context is what Satan is saying. God's making a mountain of molehill. It really doesn't mean all of that. You eat of the fruit and everything will be fine. Well, hint, hint, we know what happened. We know he was lying. We know what the truth was. We've experienced every day of our lives the disaster of them partaking of the fruit. We were born with a sin nature and is destroyed our every day since then because of our sin against God. God hates sin. You've got sin in your life and God hates it. God despises it. Look at the wrath of God as He poured it out upon Jesus Christ. I don't think any of us could do that to our children. We're not good enough to do that. Only God. But it shows the hatred of God against sin. Yet we sin every day in our lives and we think we're fine. We think everything is good. It is about turning away from transgression. Turning away from sin. Matthew 1, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then he tells us why. "For he shall save his people from their sins." It's not about giving you something and letting you stay there and wallow and go to hell. What love would that be? What love could that be? To pamper you and coddle you here so that you die and go to hell. Can you imagine a child, your child, and he's got a disease, and chocolate's going to kill him, but he loves chocolate. So I give him chocolate every day because it makes him happy and he loves it, knowing full well it's going to kill him. Why would God coddle us in our lives of sin, strengthen us, help us, give us money, give us better health, give us better strength so that we could go on sinning so that He could punish us in hell for all of eternity? That's not a blessing, folk. What would a man have if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? It's exactly what Jesus said. Better to lose everything in this life and have eternal life than to have anything in this life and die and go to hell. This blessing that God has done, this blessing that God has sent, this blessing that God has sent in raising up Jesus Christ is the blessing of turning away every one of you from his iniquities, turning you away from sin, taking you away so that you don't sin, turning you, changing you. What would be your answer if you ask yourself the question, do I have this blessing that Jesus brings? Am I blessed by Jesus? If you were asked that question, what would your answer be? Do I have the blessing that Jesus brings? Perhaps you think you have this blessing. You say, well, God sent Jesus for me. Yes, God sent Jesus for the Jews first, but then He sent Him for me because I have this blessing. To prove your point, you say, I'm in the church. I'm here. There's a sign that God loves me. God, there's a sign that God sent Jesus for me. There's a sign that God gave this blessing for me. God brought me here. I have the blessing that Jesus brings. Well, let me give you an illustration and then let's ask that question again. Finding and cleaning bottles. Most of y'all know I like to hunt. I like to go out in the woods. I don't like to find or see trash in the woods. So I have a habit, if I see it, I pick it up and bring it out with me. It goes in a pocket or a pack or something, and I take it home with me. A lot of times it's drink bottles. People carry drink bottles in, especially plastic bottles. They drink them and they throw them down, and you can find them. I pick them up, throw them in my pack, bring them on out. Sometimes I find old, rare bottles that I'd like to keep, I'd like to have. We have some sitting up on the shelf at the house. Well, I take those home too. So I get home and I have several bottles in my pack or in my pockets and I sort them out. Some I want to save. So I clean them up. I take them in and I wash them up and get all that mud out of them, all that mud off of them, and wash them up. It's a rare bottle. I want to take care of it. Clean them up and I take it into the house. It goes up on the shelf. The others I just throw in the trash. They didn't mean anything. They might make it into the house. I might stop at the garbage can outside and just throw them right on in the trash. So now let me ask you this. If you were a bottle that I picked up in the woods, you might be excited and think you were blessed when I took you home. He took me home. He picked me up in the woods and took me home. I am blessed. That's a blessing. That means love for me. I'm blessed. Everything's better. I'm not in the woods anymore. But let me say to you, you may be in the church. Yes, God brought you here. But did He clean you? Is He cleaning you? The only bottles that I picked up and that were truly blessed are those that I cleaned up and put in the house. Took in a house to put on the shelf. The others were all just simply thrown in the trash. Bringing them to the location does not mean a blessing. The cleaning does. The cleaning does. I'm not well, some of y'all met my wife. You know I've got a good reason I'm not taking those dirty bottles in and setting them on the shelf in the house. They won't be accepted. They won't be acceptable. But you know what? We're dirty, rotten, filthy sinners, and we're not acceptable in God's house either. We're not acceptable in the kingdom of God unless He cleans us first. And that's what He's talking about in Jesus Christ. You see, you may have been born here today, and you may count that a blessing. Well, I'm a church member. Well, I attend church all the time. I'm not a member, but at least I'm there all the time, and I'm a part of it there, and I hang out there, and I get along there with the people, and everything's fine. But the question is not, are you here? The question is God cleaning you? Is God changing you? Is God washing away that sin nature that was yours and giving you a heart to love and to desire Him? The only way that you can know that you have the blessing that God speaks of here, the blessing that He sent through Jesus Christ, is do you have the cleaning? That's the blessing. Unto you first, the passage says, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you. And how does He bless you? In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. In cleaning you and making you a new person. Are you cleaned? Is He in the process? Is He washing away? Is He turning you from your transgression? You may have brought a dog in the house. You got a dog. You bring him in the house. You clean him up. He goes back outside and waters, and you bring him in the next time without cleaning him up? No, it's a continual cleaning process, isn't it? Especially if you got a hunting dog. He likes to go out and water and stuff. And so every time they do that, they've got to be cleaned. That's got to be done away with. That's not acceptable in our house. And neither is our sin acceptable before God. So the blessing that we have is in turning us away from our iniquities, turning us away from our sin, our life of sin. He cleans us, changes us, makes us different, makes us to love those things. Yes, we still sin. If anybody tells you that a Christian no longer sins, a Christian never sins anymore, they're not talking about Christians here on earth. The only Christians that don't sin are those that have already gone home to heaven. Christians still sin every day. God covers that in His Word. John covers that in his epistle. First epistle. He says, these things are written unto you, brethren, that you sin not. But when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We still sin, but our life cannot be that continual life of sin. And when we sin, there is again a cleansing. There is a cleaning. There is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that makes us detest that sin we did and to repent of that sin that we did. God shows us the same thing again in Titus 2 and gives us another sign to know if we have this blessing that God has sent in Jesus Christ. Turn with me, Titus 2. Titus chapter 2. We'll begin with, we're just actually going to look at one verse, verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, like washing the bottle, purifying. Then another sign He gives us, zealous of good works. zealous of good works. This is that blessing. If you had the blessing of God that God speaks of, that He sent through Jesus Christ, whom He raised up to be a Savior, this Jesus Christ, this blessing that comes from Him, this turning away from our transgressions. As He says here, He gave Himself that He might redeem us, that He might buy us back from all iniquity, to buy us back from our sin, to buy us back from our guiltiness for our sin, and to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a specific people. Sometimes I find those bottles in the woods and they're in a trash pile where somebody lived and they threw all their trash out. And so you may look and there may be 100 bottles that are all broken up, and I dig through and find that one. And I clean up that one. And I take that one home to put it on my shelf. That's a peculiar bottle there. You see, all the others stayed out there in the woods. All the others stayed out there dirty. All the others I had no use or purpose for. This one I brought in and made it something. And I cleaned it up and I made it something special. You see, God didn't save you because you were special, if you're saved. And God's not going to save you because you're special. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing good about us. There's nothing to be desired about a single one of us. The only thing desirable about any human being are those that God has already done the work to. And God has cleaned them up. And God has made them desirable. And God has put His Holy Spirit into them and changed them to make them a people that He can love and to make them a people that love Him and worship Him. This work, this blessing that Jesus Christ has come to do is to change you from what you were. If you're not changed, you don't have this blessing. If you're not changed, you don't have this Savior. If you're not changed, you don't have salvation. He came to give, to bring Himself a peculiar people, a special people, changed from all of that. And if you're not changed from that, it's because you're not one of them. Don't console yourself because you read the Bible. Don't console yourself because you attend church. Don't console yourself because you ever joined a church. If He's not changing you and He hasn't changed you, you don't have the blessing. You don't have anything. And He says, as He says it here in Titus, to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He didn't say anxious to do nice things. He said, zealous to do good works. What are good works? Oh, good works are feeding people and being nice to people and calling people. And that's not what He's talking about, good works. Obedience to the Word of God. Obeying the will of God. Doing what God has prescribed in the Bible. Let me tell you something. If you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with anybody, I don't think you can be doing any good works. Because there's nothing more basic than that. We see the thief on the cross. He's only been a believer, repentant for a few moments, a few minutes. And already he is witnessing to the other thief. He's testifying about what God has done and what Jesus Christ is doing and who Jesus is and the fact that the other thief needs to repent before Christ. That fast! What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Where God sends His Holy Spirit, there is a change. There is a change. Brother Don was talking about the fruit trees he was planting. And you plant fruit trees and it takes a couple years normally before you get any fruit. Not that way with God's work. We've consoled ourselves. Well, yeah, I'm not witnessing, I'm not doing this and that and the other because I haven't been a Christian for that long and I haven't gone through a new Christian's class and I've never had any training on that. Some training might help you, but you don't have to have training. If you've met Jesus, remember the woman at the well? What kind of training did she go through? She ran back to town, left her water pot. That was her whole purpose for being there. She left it because it's not important anymore. Well, if you want, remember she was asking for true blessing because He said if you knew who you talked to, you would ask and He would give you living water. You never thirst again. Oh, give me that water. That sounds good. I won't have to come down here to the well every day. That's wonderful. That's what she was looking for. Those physical blessings, those earthly blessings. But he went on to go and show her, to reveal to her the sinfulness of her own heart. And she learned that that wasn't the blessing. So she didn't run back and say, "Hey folks, get rid of your water pots. There's a man down here at the well that'll give you water. You'll never need a water pot again." No, she went back to town and ran back to town and told him, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" The water, the need for water, the promise of special water, it's all paled in comparison. She's found a Savior, and she can go and tell about it just in a matter of moments. This woman of ill repute, this woman of bad reputation, yes, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. We know she had a bad reputation just because of the time of day she's down there by herself getting water. All the ladies would go together in the cool of the day to get the water. She's down there in the heat of the day because they won't allow her to be in their midst because she's got a bad reputation, well earned. But now she declares of Jesus Christ. She didn't have to have any special classes, did she? All she had to do was tell of the one she had met, the one who had brought her this blessing from God. Sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Is he cleaning you? Are you zealous of good works? Are you desirous to do what God wants you to do? Do you even search the Word of God to see what he wants you to do? Are you anxious to do his work and his will? Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Salvation is God's work, turning you away from your iniquities. That is the blessing. That is the ultimate blessing. That's what it's all about. Salvation. Adam plunged us into wickedness. Adam plunged us into sin. Jesus Christ is to bring us from sin. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Is this what you have? Is this the blessing that you count from God? Do you count yourself blessed? Do you think you have the blessing from God? Is he cleansing you? Is he cleaning you? Has he cleaned you? Has he taken you away from your iniquities? Has he made you zealous for his glory? For his work? That's what he does. Peter, as he preached there in Acts chapter 3, a couple of verses that we read earlier, tells them what needs to happen. Verses 19 and 20. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, cleansed. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Repent. Repent. Your sins stand before God, between you and God. Repent of them. They're not little treasures. "I'll just hide it away. Nobody will know." You remember Achan? He hid the treasures in the floor under his tent and brought a curse upon the whole nation of Israel until he was removed. Be sure your sins will find you out, God says. Jesus, in his blessing, was sent to turn everyone away from his iniquities, from his sin. Is God turning you away from your sin? Is he cleansing you? Has he cleansed you? It's an ongoing process. Repent. Repent ye therefore. Be converted. You need the blessing of God. The blessing of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. Your life may fall apart. You may be broke and sick and miserable, but it won't matter. It won't matter. As a child of God, you have the blessing and you'll have the peace that only a child of God knows. Repent. Dear God, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that you sent through Jesus Christ to turn everyone away from their iniquities. And, oh God, we know that you have for every true child of God. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that you continue in their lives, Lord, to work and, Lord, to strengthen them, to grow them, to put away sin from them. Oh God, we pray for those here today still in their iniquities. They've not known the blessing of Jesus Christ. They've not known that work, that cleansing, that turning away from iniquity. Oh God, might you move in that heart this day. May you send your Holy Spirit, oh God, to bring that blessing, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, in salvation. Oh God, save souls this day, we ask, through Christ our Lord. Amen.